named Hatid Roinald. She'd sent it to him because, although my father was the imperial auditor on End, he was there performing another task given to him by Emperor Ottavio VI. My father was a flow physicist, as I am, and the late Emperor had him collecting data on the health of the flow streams inside the interdependency. Ottavio VI was concerned, despite the best assurances of nearly all reputable flow physicists, that these critical trade routes might collapse. "And will they?" Ranatunga asked. "It's happened before," Marsh said. "Most obviously, we lost the flow stream to Earth, our ancestral home, more than a millennium ago. Another stream collapse, involving the Dalasisla system, happened a couple hundred years later. However, since then, the flow streams have been remarkably stable, a fact which has allowed the interdependency to thrive and prosper." Corbine shook the report, which she was not bothering to flip through at the moment. Others on the committee had also set them down. Nadashe Nohamapitan had put hers down to make some notation on her tablet.
"Does this paper suggest the flow streams are collapsing?"
"No," Marsh said. "The paper actually proposed that the streams are likely to undergo a radical shift, rearranging themselves over the course of a very few years. Most of the flow streams that we have now will go away, but they'll be replaced by emerging ones that will allow trade in the interdependency to continue, but with End the nexus of the new flow stream network, not Hub."
"Is that accurate?" Corbine asked.
"That's what Roinald wanted to know, which is why she sent the draft to my father, who had written an earlier paper along the same lines, the findings of which he discussed with Ottavio VI, with whom he shared a friendship. It was by Ottavio's request that he stopped publicly researching the topic, but the early paper was still out there. Roinald supposed that he was the only person who would take her seriously on the topic."
"And what did he say?"
"Nothing. He was researching privately for the Emperor. The only person I think he ever shared the draft with was me, because I was working with him on his research. And, publicly at least, Hatid Roinald stopped researching on this topic. Her doctorate addresses another vector of research entirely. But the Imperial Guards have just spoken to her overnight. It turns out that, like my father, Roinald had a private patron who allowed her to continue her research on the topic of the flow stream shifting. Nadashe Nohamapitan." All eyes turned to Nadashe, who smiled. "I knew this was coming," she said, and addressed Corbine directly.
"Hatid is a friend of mine from university. She came to me in financial straits and wouldn't take charity. So I funded her research on this topic instead. I gave her a stipend to finish this and her other work, and she gave quarterly updates, which I never read because that was never the point."
"I'm sorry, Lady Nohamapitan, but there is reason to believe otherwise," Marsh said. Nadashe turned to Marsh and would have glared a hole in his chest if she could.
"And what reason is that, Mr. Claremont?"
"It's Lord Claremont, Lady Nadashe," Marsh said, "and because your brother suggested otherwise."
"To whom?"
"To us," said Emperor Greyland II from the doorway. Everyone stood, except for Marsh, who was already standing. He smiled at Greyland's sudden appearance. They had not planned it when they had spoken earlier, but he could tell she had been agitated when he came to her and disclosed what Kiva Lagos had told him, along with his own personal information. When the Emperor told him the things she knew, everything, appallingly, fell together. After she had made calls to follow up on loose ends, the two of them planned this presentation, which Mars was to deliver. But she also made him wear a microphone so she could hear the entire exchange, which is why she had a response to Nadashe Nohamapitan when she was too far away to possibly have heard what she was saying as she walked through the door. Mars had to admit, it made for a nice psychological effect. Greyland walked slowly to the table and waved at everyone to sit. Archbishop Corbein moved to sit elsewhere besides the head of the table, but Greyland signaled she should stay where she was. She reached Mars and leaned on him instead.
"Your brother, Lady Nadache, revealed to us that your family knew about Dr. Roynald's work," Greyland said. "He told us that just before he died, torn apart by that shuttle that crashed into your new tenor. We didn't know what he meant at the time. But then we had a conversation with Lord Claremont here, and he knew what your brother was talking about, because he'd seen her early work. He knew what it said, and he also knew it was wrong."
"It is wrong," Mars agreed. "The math was sloppy. I haven't seen her latest work yet, but if she's still suggesting a flow shift, then she never corrected her initial errors."
"But you wouldn't know that," Greyland continued to Nadache. "So you and your family worked from the assumption that End would become the new center of the interdependency. You worked so that when it happened, you, and not the House of Wu, would be the ones to control flow access. You promoted rebellion on End, sent your brother Grenny there to administer it, developed an agricultural virus to exacerbate it, and blamed it on the House of Lagos to cover your tracks and to get back at an enemy house. Here on Hub, you pushed for military aid to End's Duke and then used pirates to take those weapons for your family, pushing the Duke to more desperate action," Mars said. "And you kept the pressure on for more military intervention by planning and executing terrorist attacks here and in the rest of the interdependency."
"That's a lie," Nadache said.
"We have Kay Isolt in guard custody, Lady Nohamapeton," Greyland said. "Your man at Customs and Immigration. He gave you up almost immediately. He told us how he identified and acted as a go-between between you and immigrants from End. How you would either use them or frame them for the terrorist events. He even told us about the attempt yesterday. How he gave an unwitting immigrant a transmitter that hacked into the shuttle through a maintenance program and sent it into your own ship.
Do you know why he gave you up so easily?"
"Because he found out you intentionally killed your brother to make it look like an attack on the Nohamapetans," Mars said. Greyland nodded at this. Apparently, fratricide was too much even for him, although he did approve of you attempting to frame the House of Lagos for all of this. He said it was a clever move. "The House of Lagos isn't happy about it, however," Mars said.
"No,"
Greyland agreed. "No, they are not. And neither are we, Lady Nadache, about any of this." There was dead silence around the table as the entire executive committee stared at Nadache Nohamapeton.
"I am grieved that you would believe any of this, Your Majesty," Nadache began.
"Oh, cut the shit, Nadache," Greyland said, irritated. "It's over."
"No, Cardinia," Nadache said,
and there were several gasps as she used the Emperor's personal name in a flagrant breach of protocol.
"It's not over. Perhaps for me, not for the House of Nohamapeton."
She took her tablet, which she had kept in her hand this entire time, and tossed it onto the table. She pointed at it.
"The minute your lackey here put Hatid's report in my hand, I sent a message to the prophecies of Rakella. The troopship with 10,000 marines and all their equipment and weaponry. By the time you showed up and started your tirade, the bridge crew had locked itself in and begun moving the ship toward the flow shawl. It was already positioned for immediate transfer. In less than 15 minutes, the Rakella will be through and on its way to End. It's too late to stop it."
Greyland glanced over to Corbein, who grabbed her own tablet, leapt up from the table, and started making calls. Then she turned her attention back to Nadache.
"Your bridge crew can't stay there forever."
"Don't be stupid," Nadache said.
"They're not the only ones I have with us. I've been working on this for years. When the Rekella comes through to end, we'll control the system. We'll control its Imperial Station first, and if my brother doesn't control the surface of the planet by then, we'll control it soon enough. Then, it's simply a matter of waiting, isn't it? Now, we can defend the exit shoal to end easily enough. We've planned for that. And, when the flow streams shift, we'll start negotiations.
You don't understand, Mars said. Roynald was wrong. There's no shift coming. There's a collapse coming. Every single flow stream is disappearing in the next decade.
Excuse me, what?
Said Upeksha Ranatunga. That's why I'm here, Mars continued. My father confirmed it. We confirmed it with data taken from ships coming to end. It's all shutting down. All of it. End is about to be as isolated as every other system.
That's your interpretation of the data, Nadashe said.
It's already happening, Greyland said. The stream from end to hub is already closed. The stream from hub to Terhatum is next. Your family's home system, Nadashe. Your home system.
Nadashe shook her head and smiled. No, and it doesn't matter anyway, she pointed at Mars. If he's correct, then billions are about to die. End is the only system in the interdependency with a habitable planet. Every other system is man-made habitats. They'll last for years or even decades. But eventually they'll fail. They'll all fail, except for End, which the House of Nahamapitan will control, if it doesn't already.
The door to the room opened again, and four Imperial guards came through and marched toward the executive committee table. Hivert Limbar followed behind them. Nadashe looked at them, and then at the Emperor.
Are those for me?
Yes, they are, Greyland said.
Let me give you a piece of advice, Cardinia, Nadashe said as the guards crowded around her. Keep me alive and treat me very well. The end of the interdependency is coming one way or another. However it comes, the House of Nahamapitan is going to be there, waiting for its tribute. It's not going to look kindly on you if something happens to me.
We'll keep it in mind, Greyland said. In the meantime, thank you for your service on the executive committee. You're dismissed. Nadashe laughed, stood up from the table, and walked out, accompanied by the guards. The entire executive committee watched her go. Then, when she was gone, Upeksha Ranatunga cleared her throat. I want to get back to this thing about the flow streams collapsing in a decade. She looked at Mars and Greyland.
Is it true?
It's true, Mars said.
And you're only telling us now?
Ranatunga said, disbelieving. Mars heard Greyland sigh, saw her glance over at him for just a moment, and then turned to Corbine, who was returning to the table.
The prophecies of Rekella is gone, Corbine said. Through the flow shoal, on the way to end.
It's only 10,000 Marines, Mars said, and there can't be that many more at the Imperial Station there. You have hundreds of ships and hundreds of thousands of Marines. All of them have to go through the bottleneck of the flow shoal, Greyland said to him. A few ships and weapons are all they need to defend it. You seem sure about that. Greyland laughed bitterly. How do you think the House of Wu became the Imperial House 1,000 years ago, Lord Claremont? We did the very same thing here, in the space above Hub. Controlled the shoals and made everyone who wanted to come or go through them pay a price. We made them pay, Lord Claremont. Just like the Nahamapitans plan to make anyone going to end pay. And, at the end of it, they'll be the new emperors. Or so they believe.
Then seal off end entirely, Corbine said. If the Nahamapitans want to self-exile, let them.
It's not that simple, Mars said.
Why not?
Because Nadashe was right, Greyland said. There's only one system that will support human life on its own once the flow collapses, and that's End. We can prepare every system for the collapse, give them everything we can to last as long as they can, but it's End where humans will survive when everywhere else has gone dark. We need that planet. We need to get at least some people from every system in the interdependency to it. And it's the Nohamapetans who stand in our way, Marsh said. Yes, Greyland said, nodding. So what do we do? Said Upeksha Ranatunga after a minute. What do we do now? Epilogue. Don't you have better things to do than sit around here? Ottavio VI asked Cardenia as she sat in the memory room. Are you expressing judgment? Cardenia asked.
I remember asking you that question once when you were spending time with me as I was dying. It's assonant to ask you again now. It gives the appearance that I care, which is a thing you need.
You know you ruin it when you put it like that.
I apologize, but the question still stands.
I do have better things to do, she said, but I'm going to sit around here anyway. The simulation of Ottavio VI nodded and then sat next to her, or at least the simulation of him gave the appearance of sitting next to her.
I came here too, he said, whenever I was overwhelmed or exhausted or just needed to be away from other people. I would come here and talk to my mother or grandfather or any of the other emperors.
Did it work?
It worked about as well as it's working for you right now, he said. But I decided it was good enough.
Cardenia smiled at that. It is good enough, she agreed.
You haven't been in the memory room as often recently.
Do you miss me when I'm gone?
I don't exist when you're gone. So no, Ottavio VI said.
I'm busy with the end of everything, Cardenia said. I had Lord Marsh give a presentation to Parliament. I've ordered the military to create a plan for taking back End. I've suspended the operations and monopolies of the House of Nohamapetan and given them to the House of Lagos to administer.
I'm sure that went over well.
It went well with the House of Lagos, at least. Cardenia remembered the meeting with the Countess Lagos and her daughter Kiva, both of whom were profanely delighted at the fall of the Nohamapetans and the rise of their own fortunes. The Countess gave Lady Kiva responsibility for the Nohamapetan monopolies with Cardenia's permission. Marsh's presentation was not nearly as successful. He laid it out as simply and in as straightforward a way as it could be done, and the majority of the Parliament still thinks it's nonsense, even though we have proof.
But you don't have proof yet, Ottavio said. It hasn't been more than 2 weeks since Lord Claremont arrived. The ships from End could still be delayed by the Civil War. The flow stream to Ter Hatoum is still open.
I don't know that it will matter even then, Cardenia said. I'm continually confronted with the human tendency to ignore or deny facts until the last possible instant. And then for several days after that, too.
Ottavio VI nodded. This is why I never said anything about it.
Yes, and I'm getting a ration of shit for that, too. Thank you very much, father of mine, Cardenia said. I have 70% of the Parliament angry with me because they don't believe this collapse is coming, and 40% angry with me because I didn't tell them about it sooner.
That math on that is bad, Ottavio VI said.
Cardenia shook her head. No, because some people are both. And then there are the allies to the Nohamapetans who either believe Nadashe has been framed, either by me or the House of Lagos, or have decided that a little bit of treason and rebellion isn't that big of a deal. Which is another thing I get to thank you for, letting that house become as influential as it did.
I can't be blamed for that.
Of course you can be blamed for it. I just blamed you. I'm getting blamed, and now I'm passing some of that blame on to you. I hope you feel bad about it.
I'm dead. I don't feel bad about anything.
Must be nice.
It's not, Ottavio VI said.
Cardenia closed her eyes for a moment and rested back against the wall of the memory room.
I didn't want to be emperor, you know, she said. Yes,
Ottavio agreed. I remember. You didn't want me to be Emperor either.
I remember that, too.
But regardless of what either of us wanted, there is the fact of what is. And the fact is, you are Emperor. Probably the last Emperor of the Interdependency. And the question you might ask yourself is whether you would want anyone else to be that person.
No, Cardenia said. No, I wouldn't.
Ottavio VI nodded.
Remember, there's a reason I suggested the name Greyland to you. To remind you what had to be done, and to inspire you to be the person to do it.
Do you think it's working?
I don't have opinions anymore,
Ottavio VI said.
Well, pretend that you do. You're asking a heuristic computer network for its opinion.
Yes, I am. Do you think it's working? There was a pause, and Cardenia could have sworn she saw the image of Ottavio VI flicker for the barest fraction of a second. Then?
Yes, I think it's working.
Cardenia smiled. There. That wasn't so hard, was it?
In fact, yes, it was.
Cardenia laughed at this and then grew silent again. The interdependency was built on a lie, you know, she said to Ottavio VI.
Yes, I know. If not a lie, then perhaps on the least malignant projection of its original intent.
It's a lie, Cardenia said. I know it, you know it, every emperor knows it. All of the major houses, the ones that have been around since the founding of the interdependency, know it. And the minor ones are pretty sure about it, too. We've all been agreeing to live with this and continue this lie for centuries.
Yes,
Ottavio VI said. It feels like the lie is coming due now, Cardenia said, and then held up a hand. I want to be clear, it's just a feeling. There's no rationality behind it. But the feeling of it is so strong within me. Knowing that we created the interdependency for our benefit and pretended it was something that benefited everyone, it makes this collapse feel like it's the universe commenting on our choice.
It's not.
I know. The flow has nothing to do with us. It doesn't care about us. It's just something that is. But I still can't shake that feeling.
That's the human brain,
Ottavio VI said.
It creates patterns when there aren't any. Imagines causality when there is none. Imagines a narrative where none exists. It's in the design of the brain itself. It's primed to lie.
And primed to believe the lie.
Yes,
Ottavio VI said. And then Cardenia had an idea.
Huh,
she said, after the idea had unpacked itself in her head.
What is it?
Ottavio VI asked. The interdependency began with a lie.
Yes.
Cardenia smiled.
I think it needs to end with another one, she said.
This has been an Audible Studios production of The Collapsing Empire, written by John Scalzi. Performed by Will Wheaton. Executive Producers, Steve Feldberg and Mike Charzik. Producers, Kat Lambrix and Stefan Rudnicki. Directed by Gabrielle DeCure. Edited and mastered by Brian Corcoran. Mixed by Pat Hines. Copyright 2017 by John Scalzi. Production copyright 2017 by Audible, Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible, Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.